This is the music of the German composer Robert Schumann. The piece is called David's Bundlertänze, and Schumann wrote that its strains captured the contrasting sides of his temperament, the joys and sorrows that wrestled within him throughout his life. Schumann is one of many composers who's thought to have suffered from manic depression, a mood disorder that includes the soaring highs of mania, as well as the despair of depressive illness. There's a long list of artists believed to have had this disorder. The composers Handel, Mahler, Rachmaninoff, and Tchaikovsky. The painter Vincent van Gogh. The writers Ernest Hemingway, Herman Melville, and Virginia Woolf. Manic depression and its impact on creativity has been the focus of Dr. Kay Jamison's work. She's a professor of psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and the author of Touched with Fire, Manic Depressive Illness and the Artistic Temperament. Jamison says there's a significant difference between manic depression and regular depression.
Manic depression is a genetic illness. It runs in families, and it's characterized by extreme fluctuations and changes in not only mood, but also energy states and perturbances, agitation. People are manic. They get very disturbed. They can get very paranoid. Extreme variations in terms of sleep patterns. They don't sleep very much at all when they're manic. They sleep an awful lot when they're depressed. In regular depression or clinical depression, people have the same, very often the same features of depression, but they just don't have the manias associated with it.
But they also have great highs, right?
People with manic depressive illness do. I mean, not everybody who gets manic has extreme highs. I mean, maybe 50% of people who get manic don't ever get euphoric, for example. They don't get ecstatic. They just get irritable and paranoid.
And in terms of being creative, is this something that doctors or artists who suffer this, or doctors who've analyzed this, feel that it serves the creative process or inhibits the creative process in any way?
Well, I think one of the things that's most complicated is it probably does both. I mean, it should be said that obviously most people who are very creative don't have manic depression, and most people who have manic depression aren't particularly creative. It's rather that if you look at a collection of very, very highly creative people, you see a way disproportionate rate of manic depression.
Let's take Robert Schumann as an example. What led you to the link between Schumann and his manic depression?
Well, again, it's certainly not original to me. I think many people have looked at Robert Schumann and thought he had manic depression, including doctors in his own time. He was someone who had a lot of manic depression in his own family. He had suicide in his own family. He himself spent the last 2.5 years of his life in an insane asylum after having attempted suicide. And then what you see with Schumann is what's not uncharacteristic at all in untreated illness, which, of course, in the 19th century, there was no treatment for manic depression. The tendency of the illness is to get worse over time if it isn't treated.
But in the 1840s, was there any treatment whatsoever given to these people other than incarceration?
Well, hospitalization was actually not a bad treatment. You know, it was often the only treatment that was available. Sometimes later in the century, there were opiates and chloral hydrate and various drugs that could be used to sedate people up to a point.
What are some of the breakthroughs in treating manic depression today?
It used to be that lithium was the only drug that was available, and it's actually a very good drug, and it's particularly good at preventing suicide, which is a major problem in people who have manic depression or depression. But there are now a wide variety of drugs that were initially used in epilepsy. Drugs like Depakote, Tegretol, there are, you know, 6, 7, 8 anticonvulsant medications now that are used in manic depression.
Do you feel that artists who, poets, writers, musicians, actors, that get treated for these illnesses, that they lose some edge that makes their work unique or their genius or their spark?
That's... Well, I think a couple of things. I think if you actually look, there are a couple of studies have actually asked artists and writers whether they feel that they are as productive or less productive on medication for moods than they were before. And actually 3/4 of artists and writers say that they feel that they are as productive or more productive on medication than they were before they started taking medication. And that's because most of these artists and writers were spending a lot of their lives on psychiatric wards or being morbidly depressed, in which case nobody's very productive.
Right. What about that quarter? You said 3/4 feel that they do well. What about the quarter that feels they don't do well? Do they feel their work has suffered because of the treatment?
They feel that their work has suffered, and they feel like the side effects or the effect on their creativity. But I think what's important is that people you know, if they have a concern about their moods, if they have a concern about depression, is that they check it out and they find out, they read a lot about it, they get a lot of information, they go badger doctors, they go ask as many questions as they can, ask what all the different treatments are, and figure out a treatment course that makes sense for them. And I think in this day and age, there's no reason why creativity does have to suffer.
I agree with you, and I've seen it in many, many friends. This has been extraordinary talking to you. I want to thank Dr. Kay Jamison, who is a professor of psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. She's the author of Touched with Fire, Manic Depressive Illness, and The Artistic Temperament. Dr. Jamison, thank you.
Thank you.